Recently, I read an article that said something to the effect of, isn't it a shame that our beautiful liturgy does not include lament? And looking at our arc of worship, I see praise, adoration, confession, the sharing of the word, intercession, the Lord's Supper, and then thanksgiving. Yep, sure enough, no lament. Maybe once in a while, a service featuring lament would be helpful to us. Over these last 2 years, there is much that we can lament. The loss of our priest, a pandemic, racial unrest, a deeply divided country. And our hearts are breaking as we watch in real time Russia invading Ukraine, purposefully targeting civilians. We have legitimate complaints. So why not take them up with God? Abram did. He and his wife are old. His wife is post-menopausal, and long ago, God promised them an heir. He tried to help God fulfill his promise several times over, each time resulting in failure. Abraham and Sarai have been through a great deal together. They've moved. They've been in exile, strangers in a foreign land. Yet it all turns out all right in the end. Abram has become very wealthy in his travels. But he and Sarai lack the one thing they most desire, a child. In Abram's time, the lack of children was the greatest of misfortunes. A woman had no greater shame than to be barren. Material gains were meaningless if there were no children. And people without children often found themselves socially excluded. Clearly, there was something wrong with them, so please, stay away from me. Despite all the evidence before him, despite all his contingency plans, Abram held on to the hope that God would fulfill the promise made to him. So when God comes to Abram in a vision, promising him a very great reward, Abram oh so politely responds, "What can I possibly want when I already have so much except the one thing I desperately desire?" And then Abram comes right out with it. "God, you have failed to give me offspring." There it is. Abram's grievance, his complaint, his deepest wound. In reading scripture, I get the sense that God likes it when we're feisty. It appears to me that God wants us and invites us to own our deepest hurts as well as our greatest hopes. If I've learned anything at all about scripture, is that God encourages us to wrestle, to push back, to pull out, and to ask questions. One commentator suggests that when we take our complaints to God, we make our problems God's problems. By sharing our hurts and our hopes with God, we implicate God in those hurts and hopes. And when we dialogue with God in this way, we are also sharing our belief that God can and will respond. Complaining to God, then, is actually an expression of our faith. Faith that God is faithful to God's creation and to God's promises, despite any and all evidence to the contrary. It doesn't hurt to remind God of God's promises, not because God forgot, but to show that we remember and that we expect God to follow through as God has always done. You know, Genesis is not the only book in the Bible that has laments. A third of all the Psalms are laments, And there's even a book called Lamentations. Our complaints to God shows us both that we are in relationship with God and that we haven't given up on each other. Thus, we see Jesus himself lament, as he does in today's reading from the Gospel. We should hear in Jesus' lament for Jerusalem deep compassion and sorrow for those who will not or cannot hear his message, and for those who are opposed to his mission. Jesus does not lash out against his enemies. Rather, Jesus wants to include them and draw them closer to God, much as a mother hen draws her brood under the shelter of her wings. In using this analogy, perhaps Jesus was recalling the moment of creation and of God's intention for creation, for the Hebrew word for brood is also translated as hover and gently and cherish. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, God brooded over or cherished or hovered over that deep and formless void. God was gentle, all-encompassing, deeply maternal at the moment of creation. This is Jesus' greatest desire, to draw us all to him, closer to God, under the wings of his protection and love, much as a mother hen does with the protective fierceness of any mother of any species. He calls us to turn toward him and away from those things that keep us from relationship with God, and we call that repentance. He knows, too, that some of us may not want to fall under his protection, preferring to exercise power and prestige in this world and ignoring the exercise of power and prestige that comes at the expense of others. Jesus is pointing out that relationship with God cannot be bought, cannot be exercised through force, cannot be extended through privilege. Rather, it comes through him, the one who is humble and faithful to the God of creation. For this reason, Jesus will proceed living into his call. He will go to Jerusalem, even if that means his death. Jesus knows his mission will not end in death. Rather, it is fulfilled in conquering death at the moment of his resurrection. All of us are invited under Jesus' wings. Turning toward him, turning towards God, means that we are willing to emulate Jesus. We understand that Jesus' mission is from the divine. Like Jesus, we pay attention to, we afford dignity and respect to the least of our brothers and sisters. We try to remove the barriers and obstacles that keep some people from fully engaging in our community. We find ways to let God use us to heal the hurts of the world, much like the humanitarian organizations on the back of your inserts are scrambling to do so for the refugees of the Ukraine. Episcopal Relief and Development, Lutheran World Services, Catholic Charities, and these others on this sheet are offering aid where it is desperately needed. In actions like these, we proclaim our faith as guides to be compassionate, caring, welcoming, affirming, inviting, and loving. And we do all this with God's help. And we invite others to do it with us because we know that not enough of us are willing to do God's work in the world. And as we do this, through faithfully engaging with God, we do it as Abram did. We absolutely can ask questions of God, even if the question is, how will I know? And we most certainly can complain to God. How will I know if I'm doing God's work? How will I know if I'm doing my part to fully usher in the kingdom of God? And the answers will come through prayer and whether our actions show results. Let us all be willing to draw near under Jesus' wings and function together as his body in the world. Amen.